Now, we have been in our series 41, and we've been in the series for the last 5 weeks. And what we've been doing over the last 5 weeks is we've been talking about stories, your story. We've been examining stories from the Old Testament and how, you know, they connect to our lives today. I've continued to encourage you to share your, what we've called your 41 story. The 41 comes, and we have a place where you can go and you can answer some questions and share your story. We've had those stories posted in different areas in the church out there as well as online. So if you shared your story with us, thank you so much. If you haven't, I would encourage you to do so because they are very, very inspiring and encouraging and impactful to be able to read through those things. And I'll continue to encourage you to do that. And next week, I'll just quickly say, we're going to bring it up at the end of service, but next week we're closing out this series and we're doing something special at the end of service during worship called Cardboard Testimonies, where essentially you can share your story in about 2 sentences, where you get to walk up, share what, you know, what was going on in your life, and then flip the cardboard and see, and you can see what God did. And so we would love to have you participate in that. I think last week I said we're looking for about 15 people per service. And so you can sign up for that. You can write that on your next step card. Just write cardboard. Or you can, do I have a slide? Oh, I do have a slide there. You can scan that or go to that link and sign up there as well. All right. So we've been looking at Old Testament over the last few weeks. And now I want to move into the New Testament, look at some of the stories that take place in the New Testament. And if you didn't know, guess what? There's a lot of them. A lot of 41 stories in the New Testament. I'm like, which one do I pick? I don't know. I feel bad just picking one. So we're going to talk about all of them today. You locked in? You ready? It's going to take about 16 hours. And no, I'm just kidding. Kind of kidding. It's not going to take that long, but I do kind of want to look at it from kind of an overview. And as I was, you know, preparing to enter into this week, I was remembering, I think it was like the first week or the second week of this series. I was standing in the back. It was after the sermon, and it was worship was going on, and I think it was closing commitment. And I clearly remembered hearing from the Spirit that God revealed this thought to me. It's just a simple thing. The church needs more than just the personalities of people like the Apostle Peter. It's just this very, and that thought, it kind of ran through my head, and I was like, That makes sense, and I kind of took it, you know, personally, and I was like, okay, I'll shut up and stop talking, because I talk too much. But then I was just thinking, like, what if every apostle acted, thought, and spoke the same as the Apostle Peter, right? And nothing against Peter. He's, you know, amazing saint. He's great. But just imagine 12 of them. Just think about how many ears would have got cut off. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of ears just laying on the ground and Jesus just going and slapping them on people. Think about how many denials there would have been. So I'm just thinking about this. And I was reminded just how important it is that every church utilizes everyone that God brings into that community. Because at the end of the day, this church doesn't just need more Brents, right? Listen, ask my mom, ask my wife. One of me is enough. Last service, my wife amened that, y'all. And I was taken back. I almost got off the stage. I didn't know how to continue. Really threw me for a loop. But I mean, like, and it's one of those things, like, it doesn't need more of me. The church needs you. Your story, your unique story. The church needs to hear your story. The church needs to be blessed by your giftings and your talents. And that's what makes church so great. It's each and every one of us coming together to be the community of the church, to be the hands and feet, to be the body of Christ. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul shares about this, the importance of every person, of every role of that God brings into the church. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4, he says, "Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial." And just, you know, it's such an important reminder. And as I considered Peter and I considered, you know, what the church is called to, I just got to thinking about each of the other 12 apostles. Like their stories. I wonder, like, what was their 40? What did their 41 end up being? What would their story ultimately be? What would they ultimately share? What would we be able to read about that? I mean, as I thought about that, just thought about the different stories, you know what I realized? That more than half of the apostles, more than half of the 12, they live in like obscurity. And here's what I mean by that is you have a few of the apostles, and you have quite a bit written down about them, and you get their story, you get to understand, you know, how they were called. But for most of them, man, it's vague. You don't get a lot of details about their life. And I think just that overarching theme points to a greater truth from the Bible for every single church. At the end of the day, it shouldn't just be about the pastor or the worship leader or the youth pastor or the kids ministry director or somebody else on staff or some other ministry leader. Church isn't meant to have a celebrity culture. There is only one celebrity in church. His name is Jesus. And that's who we're called to point to live. Like, and that's the reality. And that's just what God has kind of been just revealing to me over the few weeks and the last weeks and showing me, reminding me of. And it's almost like there's this intentional obscurity that you see throughout the Gospels, where we're made aware of, you know, the men and the women who first followed Jesus and who began, you know, the early church. But the focus isn't on them. No, it's on Jesus. And that's what it should be about in our churches. It's not about me. It's not about what I'm doing or what I'm saying. Man, church, it's about what Jesus did. It's about what the words that he spoke. It's about the deeds that he performed. And each and every one of us desiring and wanting to become more and more and more like Jesus. And that's the story. Jesus' story written in your life. And so, like, I was just thinking about this and really diving into this, and I was just wondering, like, what does this look like? I'm a visual guy, and so I wanted to see, like, how many of them were named? How many of their unique stories were mentioned? And it was like, I think I knew, but when I actually saw it, I was like, wow, it's quite interesting. So they're going to put a chart up on the screen. And some of these numbers, it's hard to kind of quantify, because sometimes they're mentioned, but you don't get like a full name, and you can kind of tell it's a mention to them. So that's why you see some pluses. And for, you know, for Jesus, he's the guy, right? You if you were somewhat, you were like, I don't know what the Bible's about. I don't know what all this. It's all about Jesus. Okay, like, let it be clear. What we do here is about Jesus. All of the Bible points to Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but for him. Like, it's all about him. So I just wanted you to see that. Like, he's the guy, right? But then we get, you know, some of the names that we know, like Peter. Man, right up there next. He's got more story moments, more name mentions than anybody else. But, you know, you recall, if you know the Gospels, if you know Peter's story, often you know what you're hearing about Peter? His failures, his mistakes, his blunders, him saying stupid stuff, him doing stupid stuff, and ultimately, Jesus coming alongside him and saying, I'm going to offer you grace, I'm going to offer you forgiveness, and I'm going to redeem you. And so, through Peter's story, what we get is Jesus' life revealed, and so that's, you're kind of just seeing Jesus show up in his life. Then we jump down and we get to John, and his, you know, his story moments and name mentions are, you know, even like cut in half from, you know, from Simon Peter's. Then Judas Iscariot shows up as the, you know, the third one that gets the most kind of name mentions. Of course, it's a pretty big deal. He's the guy who betrays Jesus, so we understand that. But then you get to James, and his story moments and his name mentions are even less. And then the rest of them, all the other names mentioned are 10 or less, with less than 5 unique story moments. Some of them, they don't even get anything. They just get their name mentioned. And I'm looking at that and I'm going, man, this reminds us that obscurity produces humility so that we can keep our focus on Jesus. Not about one person in the church, not about one person who is leading in the church, but that the focus is on Jesus and humility. Every church needs more humility and always will. We always need to be reminded to bring God glory, to bring Jesus glory. Because, and especially, I think, for this day and age. Like, it's always been a problem, but we live in a day and age of digital influence, right? Everyone aspires to be an influencer. Anybody with a phone is like, I got this phone, I got this camera, I can get a free YouTube account, and people will follow me and be like, he's cool, right? And so I go, because we live in that day and age, and there are men and women who are going out and trying to be an influencer, I'm going, we need to make sure that we go, our platform, what we're speaking isn't about making me famous, but about making Jesus famous. And so that means we gotta keep our selfish motives in check, we gotta keep our pride in check, we gotta keep our personal plans in check. We gotta make sure that what we're doing, what we're saying, isn't distracting from what Jesus is doing in us and through us and what he's desiring to do in others. And so this is just this big theme that I'm recognizing and I'm seeing is that, man, we gotta make sure in our lives, it's all about Jesus. Now, something else I noticed as I'm just looking through these names, and I've noticed it before, but it just stood out to me. Like you begin to see some duplicate names, right? Within the 12, and you have two Simons, Simon Peter, Simon the Zealot. You got two Judases. There's Judas Iscariot. He's the dude who betrayed Jesus. And then you got the other Judas, and like halfway through, you see like he changed his name. He's like, I don't even want to be called Judas anymore. Call me Thaddeus, right? He's like, I don't want to be associated with the name of Judas. And so we have these two guys. And then lastly, you get two Jameses. And what's interesting about these duplicates, like one of the stories, you get a lot of details. You get a lot of mention. You get a lot of, you know, time in the Bible. And then the other one is very obscure, very, very little. Now, what I want to do today for the rest of the time is focus on the two Jameses. Let me kind of just show you, compare and contrast the Jameses that we see from the 12 apostles. So the first James. And they're going to have just a thing up on the screen behind me, and it'll show you some of the things I'm going to be sharing. He shows up with Mark 1, and we find out a lot about him in this very first moment in Mark 1. We find out that he's the brother of John, the son of Zebedee. He's also a fisherman, and that he leaves his boats, he leaves his nets, he leaves his livelihood, and he follows Jesus. There's another story about him in Luke 9, where James and his brother John ask Jesus if they can call down fire from heaven on like a Samaritan village that didn't receive Jesus. And so you get another thing in Mark 3 where Jesus gives them the nickname, the Sons of Thunder. And I'm like, man, that's a cool tag team wrestling name right there, right? And so they get this nickname, and you're like, man, that's kind of crazy. In Matthew 17, James is one of the three that gets to witness the miracle of the transfiguration, just this amazing moment. Lastly, in Acts 12, we get a biblical account of how he was martyred for his faith, for what he believed, that he followed Jesus. And so we, in just a little bit we get about James, we find out so much about his story, about his family, about his faith, about his failures, about his proximity and friendship with Jesus. And so James, he becomes aptly referred to as James the Greater, right? And if you're one of the two Jameses, that's the name you want. Like, yes, I've arrived. I'm James the Greater. And so that brings us to the other James. You want to be the other James? Do you know he's referred to as James the Lesser? How'd you like to go down in all of history being James the Lesser? You know what I'm saying? It's like, thanks. I guess at least I mentioned. And there are many reasons why, but I believe this is the case because other than his name, we don't know anything about his story. Like you learn his name, and you know how you learn his name? He's included. His name is included in the list of the apostles. And you see it in Matthew and Mark and Luke. John doesn't even see fit to mention him. And I was like, oh, geez, John, that's crazy. And then you see it in Acts as well. And that's it. What we know of his story, what we get. Ready? We got his name. And he's the son of Alphaeus. But then we get one more thing, that he followed Jesus. And I go, and that's more than enough. That he followed Jesus, that he was a follower of Jesus, that he believed in Jesus. And so it's powerful. And so we get through reading the Gospels. We learn about the Jameses. You read through the book of Acts, and they're out doing their thing. And as you read further on in the Bible, guess what? You come to a book called James. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. And like, maybe you're not, like, if you're new to the Bible and you're just reading this for the first time or you haven't taken time to study it, you're like, oh, this is awesome. Well, maybe this is James the Greater because he's the greater and he decided to write a book like his brother John. This is fantastic. Let me go and read it. Well, you'd be wrong. James the Greater did not write that book. And you're like, oh, if it wasn't James the Greater, then this is James the Lesser's claim to fame. Okay, he didn't get mentioned a lot. He didn't have a whole story, but James the Lesser, he gets a book in the Bible after his name. No, false. Guess what happens? We now get introduced to a third James. And apparently, James was a pretty popular name in biblical times. And so you want to know who the third James is? You ready for this? James is James the brother. James the brother of Jesus. And right out the gate, you're like, okay, that's a pretty big deal, right? Being Jesus's brother. Like, I don't know about you, but after the fact, like, that was pretty cool. I got to grow up with him. I saw him do some wacky, crazy stuff. I didn't believe it in the beginning, but I believe it now. And so, like, so James, you know, he writes this book in the Bible. And, you know, you could say, well, he must have been a big deal. But interesting fact that during Jesus's earthly ministry, actually, James didn't believe Jesus, his brother, to be followed him, and then goes on to be the leader of the early church in Jerusalem. And so, like, you get this quick knowledge about some of these characters and stuff going on. And so, of course, you have James, the brother of Jesus, wrote the book of James, goes on to lead the church in Jerusalem. You have James the Greater. We learned, you know, about him. You know, he's the son of thunder. He's the brother of John. He's the son of Zebedee. He's a fisherman. He's one of the three that spends most of the time with Jesus in proximity. And then James the Lesser. And here's his name. And here's what I want you to do. I want the most important details shared about them or stories. The common thread for all of them is this. You ready for it? They followed Jesus. And at the end of the day, if all we got from all three of these guys, like James the Lesser, was just their name, what we could easily conclude is that each of their stories pointed to Jesus and brought God glory. Man, like that's true for James the Greater. That's true for James the Brother. The other early disciples, and that is true for us today. All of our stories have significant impact, are significant, because they tell the story of Jesus. What Jesus did for us, right? On the cross, through the resurrection, how Jesus transformed us and what he is doing in us and through us because of the Spirit that he sent to us, right? It's about him. Our story becomes a part of Jesus's story. And so like many men and women in the Bible who are simply named, and that's all you get, here's what we know. They follow Jesus, and because matters, because they follow Jesus. And so that means for each of us, our stories matter too, because and our names may not be written in the Bible. They don't have stories about us written in there. You know, Jesus shares in Luke 10:20, for those who profess his name and live for him, their names are written in heaven. Their stories are written in heaven. I'm going, that's where I want my name to be written. And that's where I want my story to be known. And so like throughout this series, I've been encouraging you, man, share parts of your story. Whole story. I want you to understand it is what God has done in your life. But it's not. It's not just, your story isn't for you. Isn't that crazy? You are connected to Jesus so that you can help other people find their story in Jesus. And so it's meant to be shared. Peter, you know, in his life, right? Peter's the guy. He's the one. He had the most written about him. He's one of the top key characters of the Bible. And basically what you're going to hear from him, he says, don't look at me. Don't. Man, what I want you to look at is Jesus, what Jesus did through me, what Jesus did for me. He says in 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, it should be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides so that, and this ties it all up, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. And so I'll just summarize that. Jesus should be glorified in your story. And he's glorified through your story when you have a willingness to share your story, to share what God has done in your life. That's the whole point. It's to point people to Jesus. Over the last 5 weeks, we've had around 20 people share their 41 stories. We've posted them, you know, out in the lobby. We've shared them online for people to read. And I just, as people have taken time to read those things, conversations, because, and it's amazing as you read through, different people from different backgrounds, different struggles, different journeys, and we can find the common thread in every single one. You know what it is? And while we have had these shares and they have been encouraging and inspiring, I also know there are more stories in this room right now that need to be shared. Stories of grace, of redemption, of healing, of restoration, stories of quiet faith. And maybe you haven't shared because somewhere along the way, you believe that your story didn't matter, that it wasn't dramatic enough, that there wasn't this crazy transformational change. It's not important enough. At least maybe you'll say, well, it's not polished. Share it, but I want to make sure that I don't lead anyone astray. Listen, the of the kingdom was never about perfection or a platform. It's always about Jesus and what Jesus has done. And some of them in the, and yet Jesus still used their lives, their stories to go out and change James the Lesser. But heaven knows his name. And just as his name and story matter to Jesus, there are stories in this room that matter and should be heard. And so here's what I want to do. For the rest of the time, I want you to hear firsthand a few stories of God working right in this room and in our church today. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to introduce yet another James to you right now. He's going to come and share his story. James, you can make your way out. And so I've already shared three James. It's the brother, the greater, the lesser. I have deemed this James the generous. And so I'm going to hand it over to him.
Hello, everyone. My name is James, and this is one of my 41 stories. I didn't grow up with a real foundation in faith. We celebrated holidays, Easter, Christmas, but there was a... I didn't know God personally. I always believed there was something bigger, something that connected us all together. But I didn't know what was meant for me in life. At the same time, growing up with very little created something inside of me, a desire to have more. Over time, that desire turned into a mindset where I felt justified in taking what I didn't have or chasing whatever I thought would fill the gap. That was my 40. It felt like I was always chasing something. Even when I got what I wanted, it didn't last. There was no real peace, just a constant need for more. From a young age, I crossed lines. I stole from strangers, from businesses, even from people that I said I cared about. It started small, but it reflected something deeper. I didn't really understand what was mine and what wasn't. And I justified it by saying it's something that I lacked. As I got older, the behavior changed, but the heart didn't. I stopped stealing in obvious ways, but I still struggled with wanting more, comparing myself to others, and feeling that I deserved things. Even when I did something good, it was often tied to how it made me feel. or what I got from it. On the outside, I was building a life, but internally there was still a gap I couldn't fill. The turning point came when I realized that nothing I was chasing was actually satisfying to me. I had worked, I had built, gained things, earthly possessions, but the emptiness was still there. That's when I started to see the issue wasn't what I lacked, it was what I was missing. Through learning about Jesus and what he had done for me, I experienced something different. It wasn't just about changing behavior, it was about changing the heart. I began to understand that the gap I had been trying to fill my whole life wasn't in material possessions. It was something deeper. It was something spiritual. Now my 41 looks completely different. My life isn't driven by what I can get anymore, but by what I've already been given. I'm learning to give even when it costs me. And while it might look like I'm losing in those moments a little bit, I've actually gained something I never had before. Peace, purpose, and a real understanding of what it means to love others truly. Looking back, I can see that I thought I needed more, but what I really needed was God. If you're still in your 40, I tell you this. Whatever you're chasing won't satisfy you the way that you think it will. If something feels missing, don't ignore it. Be open to God. You don't have to have it all figured out. But if you're willing to seek him honestly, it can change everything. What you're looking for isn't found in things. It's found in him. Thank you.
You know, that story is just a short version of his story. And you get to hear some of the details, but not all of them. But you get to kind of feel and experience a little semblance of what God has been doing in James's life and is still doing in his life. And what I want you to know, why I shared and why I'm bringing James out here is I want you to know that James the Generous, his story is just as significant, it's just as meaningful, and it has just as much kingdom impact as the Jameses of the Bible. Did he get to write a book of the Bible? No. Was his name listed in the book? Well, I mean, I guess you could kind of say it was because you could just be like, James is there, but his specific name wasn't. But here's what we can say. Was he radically transformed by Jesus and given the spirit of Jesus? Absolutely. And that's why his story carries so much eternal weight. This new story that is being written by Jesus will impact his family, his friends, his neighbors, his coworkers. It's going to impact, and it already has been impacting, the teens that he serves every single week, as well as the brothers. He shared some of the story with them a few weeks ago. And I'm claiming, man, that one day when he is a father, he'll get to share this story with his children. And so what that means is that his story has generational impact in our church and in his family, but it also has eternal impact. And so I want you to know, don't ever underestimate the story that Jesus is writing in your life. These stories matter. One story can have an immense impact. And we've been talking about the Jameses, and I think about, what about the other obscure apostles, the Thaddeus, the Bartholomew, the Thomas? What about those guys? What about the other stories in our church? I go, the more you hear the stories of what God is doing in the lives of people, the more connected you feel to the purpose of his kingdom and the impact that it's having right here in our community. And so you've heard from James the Generous. Well, now I want to bring out another guy. I'm giving him the title of Chris the Connected. So welcome to the stage, Chris.
Morning, everybody. My name is Christopher, and this is my 41 story. My 40s started in my early teens, and it came from something I didn't expect to affect me so deeply. Losing connection with people I thought would always be there. I would build friendships, get close to people, and then suddenly, they were gone. Some moved away, some went to different churches, and many stopped keeping in contact. After being part of a church for 11 years, we left so my sister and I could be part of a youth program, and it felt like the entire community disappeared overnight. That was my 40. I felt depressed, lost, and confused. I kept asking myself why people didn't care enough to stay connected. Over time, it felt easier to isolate than to risk being hurt again. Contact kept growing, and I started believing the lie that nobody really cared. Even though I was trying to grow in my relationship with God, it felt like I was doing it while carrying a weight I didn't know how to let go of. Things began going wrong. I was so fixed on what I had lost that I wasn't seeing what God. That realization changed my direction. I began choosing to focus on God instead, on my family, and on the life. He was working, even if he was quiet. Than it has ever been. I've learned that no matter what I'm feeling or facing, first. I still have moments to come back telling, but I recognize those as lies. Not perfect, but it's grounded through church. I've grown up with people again, but I don't give up. There. Even if you don't see him working, he is. Stay in his word, pray, and don't isolate yourself. Let people walk with you and don't give up. Thank you.
And another awesome story, another awesome testimony. Well, I introduced you to three Jameses, and so I want to let you hear from three men from our church as well. So the last guy I'm going to welcome to the stage is Larry, and I've given him the title of Larry the Protected, and you'll understand why in just a minute.
Good morning, good morning. My name is Larry, and this is my 41 story. My 41 story basically has been my entire life. I grew up going to church, but never really stuck and never really made sense to me. I didn't believe in God, and if I'm honest, I thought it was all just a waste of time. Because of that, I carried a fear with me that constantly was around me, and that was the fear of death. The idea that life could just end and there was nothing after it unsettled me more than I ever wanted to admit. I avoided funerals for people I loved because I couldn't handle the thought that they were just gone and no longer existed. And that was basically my 40. And now what didn't make sense to me was how I lived during that time. Even though I feared death, I lived recklessly. Almost every day I drove drunk. I drove fast for no reason. Looking back, I was almost daring death, even while being terrified of it. There were so many moments that could have ended very differently. Things did begin to shift for me after I got married. I had kids, my son was born, and something in me changed. I didn't want him to grow up seeing his dad come home drunk or wondering why I lived the way I did. That realization pushed me to get sober. Years later, I started to look back on my life differently. All the moments where I should have been hurt or worse somehow turned out okay. I couldn't ignore it anymore, and it pointed me to something bigger, to someone who had been watching over me the entire time. In 2015, I hit another turning point. I was miserable in my job, and I knew I didn't want to live that life anymore. Out of nowhere, I asked my wife if she wanted to move to Florida. It felt random, but it also felt right, and leaving everything behind was a lot easier than I expected. It did take years after that for things to really come together, but eventually, we found a church here at Kairos. And for the first time, it wasn't just a routine. It was real. Being part of the community has changed me. I am different now. I'm happier. I'm more open, and I'm more at peace. The fear of death that followed me my whole life is gone because I've given my life to God. Looking back, I can see that even when I wasn't looking for God, he was looking out for me. And I wouldn't be here today if he wasn't keeping me safe. So I do have to say, if you're still in your 40, just keep going. You may not see the end yet, but it is coming. Don't give up before you find out why you're here. We all find our purpose, and it is just a matter of time. My purpose and hope now is to make sure that the rest of my family finds God and will be joining me on the other side. Thank you.
Three different men, three different stories, all of which have like significant kingdom impact. One man going from coveting and stealing, right, to being generous with his time and his talent and treasures. Another young man feeling disconnected and isolated to now finding purpose and connection within a new community. And then lastly, a man who went from being drunk and reckless to being a father with eternal purpose. And so you've heard three stories about the Jameses in the Bible. You've heard three stories from these men. Again, each one different, each one unique, from different backgrounds, and are each purposed and gifted in different ways. And my hope is that through it all, you have understood that there's no difference between any of them. Because at the end of the day, each of their stories has one thing in common. And it's Jesus. Jesus. And all of our stories, your story, my story, all of our stories are being written to point people to Jesus and to bring God glory. Today, right here, right now, your story is being written. My story is still being written. These men's stories are still being written. Keep seeing what God is doing and make sure that you're sharing about all that he's already done so that other people can come to know and love Jesus the way that you have. Would you join me in a word of prayer? God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for each of us. For me, for everyone individually. You know our names, you know our stories, and you are writing them. And so we thank you for sending Jesus to be a part of our story, to bring redemption, to bring healing, to bring restoration. God, he is our hope, he is our peace, he is our calm, he is our joy. And I pray that our lives, whether through word or deed, would share about the hope that we have found in him. I thank you for these three men and their boldness to come and share just a little bit about what you've done. I pray today that those sitting here will be encouraged. God, that they would know that their story matters. It matters deeply. It carries significance. What you're doing, what you've done, it has eternal impact. May we remember that. And may we choose today to live in that and be emboldened and encouraged to step out and share that with others we come in contact with. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.